This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-mab'uth bi rahmatin lil alameen, nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Amma ba'd. Al-yawm 12 min shahri Ramadan 1443 al-muwafiq li رمضان 14 من شهر أبريل 2022 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك كتاب الله تعالى أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات. So today inshallah we continue from where we stopped yesterday or the day before yesterday. أمن هذا الذي هو جند لكم ينصركم من دون الرحمن إن الكافرون إلا في غرور. And if you remember during the previous class, I mentioned that the scholars indicated that this is a threat and a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to those kuffar who disobeyed him. Because somebody will be wondering, how is it possible for somebody who knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believes that Allah is the creator of everything, but at the same time disobeys him and he's not willing to change? Most likely he has something that he depends on. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them this question. أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي هُوَ جُنْدٌ لَكُمْ يَنْصُرُكُمْ. Jund here is referring to the mana, meaning you have a very strong protection and fortress that protects you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah wants to punish you. Is there anyone who does that for you? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking them a question. Maybe they have somebody who is standing for them. But since there is nobody who can resist Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means those guys were in a state of what? Deception. That's why he says, إِنَ الْكَافِرُونَ إِلَّا فِي غُرُورِ. There are none other than somebody who deceives himself, who is magrur. You know, in Arabic, when they tell a person magrur, is somebody who thinks he has the ability to do something which is far from his qudra. Yeah, fighting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond the realm of joke. You know? Yeah, because nobody can fight Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those kuffar, you know, who are not willing to change their mind and their attitude, they're not willing to change their behavior, they're not willing to accept Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah says, maybe they have somebody, but since we're dealing with Allah, there is nobody who can fight Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then definitely these people deceive themselves. They are deceived by the shaitan, and they are none other than somebody who deceives himself. And then Allah says, أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي يَرْزُقُكُمْ إِنْ أَمْسَكَ رِزْقًا بَلْ لَجُّوا فِي عُتُوٍ وَنُفُورٍ. And also, not only that, you know, look at the surrounding, the risk that we are enjoying in this life. Almost everything, not almost, everything has been provided for us by Allah. Ya Allah, Kareem. اقرأ ربك الأكرم. You will never find Kareem like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this beautiful hadith that needs our attention, he says, يَدُ اللَّهِ مَلْآ لَا يَغِذُهَا نَفَقَةٌ. Allahu Akbar. He said the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is full. Always full. لَا يَغِذُهَا نَفَقَةٌ أَلَا يُنْقِسُهَا. There is no way for the bounties and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be reduced just because he spent on his creations. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in that hadith he narrated, is a hadith of Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if the first and the last one, you know, all of us, we gather in a place and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what we want. Allah says, فَأَعْطَيْتُ كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِنْكُمْ مَسْأَلَتَهُ. He says, and I give each and every one of you his need. The angels, the jinns, the human beings, starting from Adam, and the jinn starting from the first one, until the last one that will be created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Allah will inherit the earth, until those the last one. If everyone is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his need, Allah will give each and every one of us their need, and if you go to the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we never reduce it. He said, if there is any decrease in it, it's just like when one of you take a needle and he goes to the sea and he put it inside and bring it out and see how much he decreased the sea. You know, that small needle that you have to squint for you to see the hole, you know. Go and put it in the sea. We're talking about sea. Even the water, the jug in your house, when you put that one, you don't reduce it. So this, the sea is like the bounties of Allah. And this is just an example to bring the understanding closer. Otherwise, my dear brothers and sisters, wallahi, it is far beyond that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just dealing with us within our comprehension so that we can understand properly. Similar to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also like that. Remember when Musa alayhi salam was giving a speech, and it was very beautiful and powerful speech. Somebody told him, Ya Nabi Allah, do you know somebody who knows better than you? What should be the answer? Yes. And who is that? Allah. Although he doesn't know from the human beings, because he is the highest person. You know, at that time, there is nobody who is like Musa alayhi salam. He might not know somebody, but there is always somebody. And that one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ So Musa forgot. He said no. In some narration they ask him, is there anyone who knows better than you? He said no. Another narration says, do you know somebody? He said no. Another one says, is there anyone? He said no. SubhanAllah, انظر كيف أدبه الله فأوحى الله إليه. Immediately an angel came to him. And he told him what? بَلَى عَبْدُنَا خِذِرْ بِمَجْمَعِ الْبَحْرَيْنِ عَبْدُنَا خِذِرْ No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, our slave, subhanAllah, don't even go far. People who are next to you, there is somebody who knows better than him. SubhanAllah, very, very, very great lesson Musa learned. Because he was sent to somebody who Musa does not even qualify to remain with him. Doesn't have the ability to be patient, you know, to see that kind of knowledge which he will be seen from Khidr. قَالَ كَيْفَ الطَّرِيقُ إِلَيْهِ He said, Ya Allah, how can I reach him? The interest from the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they know about somebody who knows better than them, immediately he said, Ya Allah, كَيْفَ الطَّرِيقُ إِلَيْهِ How can I reach him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, اتَّخِذْ حُوتًا Allah asked him to take حُوتًا فِي مِكْتَل, you know, take a fish, and then keep it in a bag, you know, and go with it. There's a cooked fish, you know, go with it. Or a dead fish. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, you keep going, Majma' al-Bahrain. By the time you lost the fish, the man will be in the place where you lost the fish. So he and his student Yusha ibn Nun, they left, and they reached the place where they slept. And then Yusha ibn Nun happened to wake up at night, and he saw the fish going into the sea. Wherever the fish touch, the place will become jamid, dry. And that's why Allah says, فَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ سَرَبًا So he left. So Yusha ibn Nun, you know, he went back to sleep. I don't know, how did he go? See, you know, dead fish running away, and he went back to sleep. In the morning, when they left, they started getting tired, and Musa asked him, where's our food? He said, I forgot to tell you that we lost the fish. Where did it go? He told him exactly what happened. Musa said, okay, yeah, that's me, sir. And subhanAllah, the scholars, the hadith says, they did not feel the fatigue until the time they passed the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them. The mission was the journey was very smooth. Until the time they crossed that place, then the hunger and the fatigue comes. So they went back. فَرْتَدَّ عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمَا قَصَصًا They are following the same track, you know. فَوَجَدَ عَبْدٍ مِّنْ عِبَادِنَا آتَيْنَاهُ رَحْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّا عِلْمًا They found a slave of ours, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and that's Khidr. Okay? Khidr. The one that they have so many stories, you know, about him. They even say that he is still alive and people meet him every Hajj. I don't know which Khidr is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never managed to see, but they said they met him every Hajj. Get it? So, but we're talking about the real Khidr. You know, the one that Musa alayhi salam met. You know. So, وَجَدَ عَبْدًا مِّنْ عِبَادِنَا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, آتَيْنَاهُ رَحْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّا عِلْمًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him some part of the knowledge. Because it's really some. You know. So when Musa met him, They found an old man. They say, "Assalamu alaikum." And what was the reply? "Wa anna bi ardika salam." He was surprised. Salam in this place? And know what kind of people is he living with? He says, "Salam in this place?" And then he replied, "The salam." He looked at him. He said, "Who are you?" "Qala Musa." He said, "Oh, Musa Bani Israel." He knows him. You know? He said, "Musa from Bani Israel?" He said, "Yes." He said, "How can I help you?" He says, "I'm here, ala an tu'alliman bima 'allimta rushda." He says, "I'm here just for the sake of learning. I'm a student here. I want to learn from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught you." What was the reaction from Khidr? He says, "Lan tastati'a ma'iya sabra." You have to go for some remedial classes, right? Foundation, and then come to Allah. A very big lesson, you know. And Musa learned the lesson that always you should refer the knowledge, the completeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he told him, "You can't." And also what he said after this to justify, you know, the statement when he says, "Lan tastati'a ma'iya sabra," is lesson for all of us. You Allah is a very big lesson if we do understand that lesson. You know. That's why he says, "Wa kayfa tasbiru ala ma lam tuhit bihi khubra." What does that mean? The more knowledge you have about something, the more patient you are. That's why this is one of the key to success in terms of your relationship with others. Whoever they are, is fahm nafsiyat haula an-nas. You have to understand who they are. And you know, this is the concept that we always go with, right? When you buy new things inside it, there's a manual that you have to read to tell you how does it work. Even the car, you know. So everything in this life is like that. When you want your relationship to be good, to be smooth, you must understand who that person is. That's why it is really necessary. Really necessary. The first time you meet your spouse, your wife, to do this. I know it's very difficult because the eyes usually is closed. It's the first time they meet, right? Even the prayer, sometimes they forgot. But this one is really necessary. You sit down and discuss with her and she discuss with you to understand upon which manhaj life between you is going to be based. Believe me, if you don't understand that, at the end of the day, she will be trying her best doing things, thinking that she's pleasing you, but unfortunately, you don't like them. And you might be doing things to her and she doesn't like. You keep on clashing between you and them, you know, for no reason, on things that you can fix them before the relationship begins. So knowledge helps you to be patient. If you don't have the knowledge, your patience would be very little. That's why they say in Arabic, al-mar'u aduwwu ma jahil. A person is usually, mostly an enemy of what he doesn't know. Yeah, when they go, you know, how many times they curse Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but by the time they met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what happened? They accept Islam, you know. They will be like, "I want to see him," you know, but when they meet him, they accept. That's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to do what? Tabayyun. Check, verify, you know. Go deep in terms of verification before you take action. Which usually we are not. Somebody will tell me about Abdurrahman, I make all kinds of, I think I've seen some sign, you know. That's how we do, you know. A person will come and tell you, it's fulan, so-and-so, a person is doing this and that, you know. And shaitan will push you to start thinking of other things that you have, you know. Yeah, I see some doubt, you know. That's why, this one, now I get the translation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this is wrong. He says, "In ja'akum fasiqun bi naba'in fatabayyanu." And subhanAllah, somebody was right when he says Allah asks you to do the tabayyun when a fasiq amongst the Muslim tells you something, you know. He says, go for the tabayyun. Check first and verify before you take action. Nowadays, we trust kuffar against the Muslims. Even the fasiq, one of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we should check. But nowadays, kuffar. Where do you get that this one so person is bad? The news, Fox News or somebody. So in Islam, we don't have this. we have evidence. If somebody claims that somebody is doing this and that, we should ask him for the evidence. We cannot take action against others without checking. You have to verify first. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. You know, no matter how much you hate a person, when you receive information about him, you have to check first to make sure that it is correct. Justice has to be observed on everyone, enemy and friend. And this verification is there in Islam. You know, Makkah really disturbed the Muslims in the past a lot. Many people lost their life because of the Meccans, because of the Quraysh. But you know, when the Prophet ﷺ went to the Fath Makkah, he could easily sweep those. He has the army, you know. You know, he can easily sweep them. You know, around 10 or 12,000 soldiers were there. You know, Makkah doesn't have this capacity. Most of their heroes, they converted to Islam and they went and joined Rasulullah. Now the Prophet ﷺ reached Makkah as the most powerful one against them. They thought he's going to take revenge. And subhanAllah, Rasulullah ﷺ was not like that. They said, دَخَلَ مَكَّةَ وَعَلَى رَأْسِهِ الْمِغْفَرِ. They said, طَأْطَأَ رَأْسَهُ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ وَبَكَى. SubhanAllah. He bent his head. You know, in the past, when those tyrants and won the battle, you know what will happen after that. You see, the peak of arrogance. Everyone has to bow. Rasulullah was different. Went to the place, bent his head down, and he told the believers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only gave me permission for a certain period of time. After that, I have to close everything. And he went in a very humble way. And he says, everyone is forgiven except 9. Those one, they cannot be forgiven. The only thing they can do is to accept Islam, then Islam can erase whatever they did. So that's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Makkah. He can fight and clear everyone, but he did not do. You know why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us why in Surah Al-Fath. He says, وَلَوْلَا رِجَالٌ مُؤْمِنُونَ وَنِسَاءٌ مُؤْمِنَاتٌ لَمْ تَعْلَمُوهُمْ أَن تَطَأُوهُمْ فَتُصِيبَكُمْ مِنْهُمْ مَعَرَّةٌ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ لِيُدْخِلَ اللَّهُ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ لَوْ تَزَيَّلُوا لَعَذَّبْنَا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the only reason we did not give the Prophet some permission to go and get them, in the way they put the believers, you know, into that difficulty, it is the fact that there are still in Makkah brothers and sisters who are mu'mineen, and they cannot migrate to Medina. They remain there. And many of them, you don't know them. If you're going to fight everyone to take revenge, you're going to kill. You're going to fight those ones also. SubhanAllah. So because they couldn't verify, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not promise to come and tell them this is who, this is so and so, you know, they have to do the checking by themselves, and it will be very difficult during the time of war to ask him, who are you? You Muslim? Of course, everyone is going to say, I'm Muslim, you know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to understand this fact, that always you have to verify first before you take action. That's why he says, لَوْ تَزَيَّلُوا, you know, if they are to be separated, Allah says we will definitely teach those criminals and the enemies a lesson. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي يَرْزُقُكُمْ إِنْ أَمْسَكَ رِزْقًا. So I was telling you the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that says, يَدُ اللَّهِ مَلْآ لَا يَغِيدُهَا نَفَقَةٌ. I forgot, we were in the story of Musa alayhi salam. So he said, وَكَيْفَ تَصْبِرُ عَلَى مَا لَمْ تُحِطْ بِهِ خُبْرًا. Musa said, سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ صَابِرًا وَلَا أَعْصِي لَكَ أَمْرًا. He said, no, don't worry. You will find me patient. And I will never disobey your word. Whatever you tell me, I will go with it. SubhanAllah. Musa did not know. And Khidr told him, you cannot be patient because you don't have knowledge about what I'm doing. You're going to see things which you cannot be patient. You have to be taught first. Then you can understand them when I do them. And this is what is going on after that, right? When you go and read some strange recitation, which are correct, what happened after that? You got beaten by the people. And you are doing something which is correct from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Why? Because people don't know about that. You have to teach them first. So Musa insists that he will be patient, and Khidr accepted him. And you know what happened? The first They met those people at the side of the sea and they picked them up free of charge because they recognized the sheikh. So a few minutes later, then Khidr took an axe and he started cutting some part of the ship. You know. Musa couldn't understand that. He says, these people, أَخَذُونَا عَلَىٰ غَيْرِ نَوْلٍ, you know, they picked us up without any compensation. And now you are destroying their things. What is this? What is this? هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. But this one is إِسَاءَ, according to what Musa sees. You know. And subhanAllah, when they were on the boat, a small bird came. And I went to Bukhari and stand at the side of the boat. Musa was looking at it and Khidr was looking at it. Then Khidr told Musa, did you see the bird? He said, yes. What did it do? He said, it picked up water from the sea and ran away. And then Khidr said, Ya Musa, إني على علم من علم الله لا تعلمه أنت. He said, Musa, you should know that I have knowledge from Allah. You don't know that knowledge. وأنت على علم من علم الله لا أعلمه أنا. سبحان الله. That's the lesson, you know. He said, and you have some knowledge from Allah which I don't know. I have some which you don't know, and you have some which I don't know. He said, and my knowledge and your knowledge in comparison to the knowledge of Allah is just like the relationship between what was picked up by the bird of water and the sea itself. SubhanAllah. That's the reason why I brought the story. This is just litaqreeb. Allah, when He talks about His knowledge and things about Him, He says, وَلَوْ أَنَّمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ أَقْلَامٍ. By Allah, even the trees in UAE, there's so many. If you're going to take every single branch of the tree and then make it a pen, this is too much. Imagine every single tree on earth is to be converted into a pen. وَالْبَحْرُ يَمُدُّهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ سَبْعَةُ أَبْحُرٍ مَا نَفِدَتْ كَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ. And the sea, you multiply it by seven. You convert it, you turn it into ink and multiply it by seven. And actually this is just عَلَىٰ طَرِيقَةُ الْأَحْرَمُ. Arabs, they have these numbers. If they don't want to do something to you, they use these numbers. You might hear an Arabi telling you, Wallahi, if you ask me 70 times, I will never give. You sit down and keep asking, counting, you ask 71. Is he going to give? Never. You already know. When he says 70, that means he will never give. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, استغفر لهم أو لا تستغفر لهم إن تستغفر لهم 70 مرة فلن يغفر الله لهم. The hypocrites. Allah says, you can ask Allah to forgive them. Or you can stay away from that. If you are to ask Allah to forgive them 70 times, Allah will never forgive. Rasulullah ﷺ knows that. The companion understand that. But Rasulullah ﷺ wants to keep begging. Maybe, la'alla wa la'alla. That's why he prayed the salat of janazat for who? Ra'is al-Munafiqeen. Ra'as al-Munafiqeen. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. Umar was pulling him back from his shoulder, saying, Ya Rasulullah, don't do that. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you not to do. He said, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me an option. He says, استغفر الله. أولا تستغفر الله. إن تستغفر الله سبعين مرة. I have been given, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم knows. He's better than Umar in this. He knows. And Umar knows he knows. But Umar knows, you know, how much... He hates those ones. Everyone hates them. Rasulullah ﷺ hates them actually more than Umar radiallahu anhu. So that's why he prayed for him. And after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah that says, وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَا تَعَبَدٍ وَلَا تَقُمْ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِ. So Allah says, if you are to convert the sea into ink and multiply it by seven, and then write the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all things about Allah, He says, لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرُ قَبْلَ أَن تَنْفَدَ كَلِمَاتُ رَبِّي وَلَوْ جِئْنَا بِمِثْلِهِ مَدَدًا. You know, the ink will finish. The pen will get dry. And even if you were to keep adding the ink, you know, the word of Allah SWT will never finish. That's why Allah SWT is awwal and akhir. Things about Allah SWT will never finish. So the same goes to the knowledge of Allah SWT. It has no end. The same goes to the rizq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has no end. That's why whenever you approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in times of need, open your hand wider. When I say open your hand wider, I don't mean you open physically your hand wider. No, I mean ask for everything. Don't restrict yourself. You know, that person who was asking about the Bayt al-Abyad, don't ask about, just ask Allah, Jannah. بِكُلِّ مَا فِيهَا مِنِ النَّعِيمِ. In this dunya, when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, open your hand wider and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything you need. So the Prophet said, يَدُ اللَّهِ مَلْأَ لَا يَقِيدُهَا نَفَقَةٌ سَحَاءُ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارِ. Saha means the most generous, the generous of the day and also night, meaning he gives every day and night. And who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given? Everyone. The one who rejected him and the one who accepts him, everyone is getting from the rizq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why for you to understand this karam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Unzur ilayhi kam anfaqa, or Unzur kam anfaqa mundhu khalaqa samawati wal ard. Try to make the right, to do some calculation, try to understand how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spent from the time he created the heavens and the earth. SubhanAllah. How much the government needs to keep the country intact? A lot. Imagine, they are just trying to supervise, to control, to pay some of the salaries of some of the workers and to keep the justice intact. But Allah SWT is taking care of not just the world we live in, all of the worlds, every single creation, small and big, and on earth, in the heavens, and wherever it is, Allah SWT is taking care of them, all of them, and He provides them with the risk. That's why He says, أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي يَرْزُقُكُمْ إِنْ أَمْسَكَ رِزْقًا. Who is that person that you are dependent on, who has the power and ability to provide you if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stops providing you? Who can do that? Wallahi la ahad. That's why He says, بَلَّجُّوا فِي عُتُوِ وَنُفُورِ. Those people are ignorant. They are really ignorant. And they don't want to stop what they're doing. They kept increasing in عُتُوِ وَنُفُورِ. عُتُوِ means arrogance. عُتُوِ means arrogance. And they know that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can provide, but still they're arrogant. They don't want to accept Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَنُفُورِ, and staying away from the truth. So the one who provides and the only one who provides the rizq for everyone is Allah. And He says, وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ طَرِيقَ الْخَيْرِ وَطَرِيقَ الشَّرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He did not create you and just leave you like that. He guided you. He sent you a system that will guide you toward that which is beneficial to you. So dear brothers and sisters, it's a very good lesson for us that you should always depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the rizq. Allah says, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ. And you should understand, as a Muslim, you should understand that ma'asi are one of the major causes of what? Lack of risk, you know, in this life. Sometimes we suffer from the rain, you know. And what is the cause for that? Ma'asi. Especially not giving the zakah. Nowadays, zakah is mustahab. If you want to pay, you pay. If you don't want to pay, just stay away from it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a people will never stop paying the zakah, illa muni'ul qatra min as-samaa. وَلَوْلَا الْبَهَاءِ. You know, if not the Baha'im and those innocent, you know, creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will not receive a drop of rain. Many of us see in the drought that sometimes we pass through, right? Yeah. No rain. You know, there was a time here, it took a very long time when people are looking for rain, you know. They have to go for the cloud seeding, I guess, sometimes. So, subhanAllah. When the rain comes, I came out, I see the birds are celebrating, you know. Wallahi, very beautiful scenario. They came, they are washing themselves in the middle of the street. They don't care about anyone, you know. Ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So not paying the zakah can cause us to be in this situation, you know. And subhanAllah, the lack of the barakah we have in the rizq, now this we have, right? But there is no barakah in it, except a little. Why? Because of our sins, right? Allah says, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عاملوا لعلهم يرجعوا. Some scholars said the fasad here is referring to the deficiency that people are having in the food. In the past, it used to be big, And to support this, they used the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the arrival of Isa alayhi salam. You know, during the time of Isa alayhi salam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, barakah will come back to the food. A small amount of food will suffice huge amount of people. It used to be like that. But now almost everything has been reduced in terms of the size. So taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring back the barakah even at the individual level. That's why Allah says, alaykum anfusakum. Don't wait for people to fix and then you fix. No. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, la yakun ahadukum imma. What is imma? Alladhi yaqul in ahsana an-nasu ahsant. Wa in asa'u asa'at. You know, I will only fix myself if people fix themselves. You get an idea? The Prophet said, no, it shouldn't be imma. Imma is somebody who always follows others. They're right, he is right. They're wrong, he is also wrong. The correct approach is to be smart and a believer. You adhere to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If people are right, you follow them. If they are wrong, you stay away from them. So the rizq is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you should look for it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the only way for you to keep the risk is the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَل لَّهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. قَالَ أَفَمَن يَمْشِي مُكِبًّا عَلَى وَجْهِهِ أَهْدَى أَمَّن يَمْشِي سَوِيًّا عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Subhanallah. It's an old comparison, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be making. He says, أَفَمَن أَمَّن هَذَا الَّذِي هُوَ جُنْدٌ لَّكُمْ يَنصُرُكُم مِّن دُونِ الرَّحْمَنِ أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي يَرُزُقُكُمْ إِنْ أَمْسَكَ رِزْقًا. These are all questions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking. And then the next question Allah says, أَفَمَنْ يَمْشِي مُكِبًّا عَلَى وَجْهِهِ. How can you think of comparing between the person who is walking bent? You know, he's bent in his walk. He cannot stand properly and walk properly. This is referring to who? Bent on his face. It's referring to the kafir and the bad one. Yeah, you might see him mustaqim, but in reality he is not mustaqim. He is bent and the face was dragged on the ground, on the floor. He can't see properly. And this is the truth. Although they claim to be seeing, you know, everything better than anybody else, but in reality they don't see. He says, أَفَمَنْ يَمْشِي مُكِبًّا عَلَى وَجِهِ أَهْدَى. Is this one more guided than the person who is يَمْشِي سَوِيًّا عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ? The believers are walking straightforward. No matter how much weak it is, but this is the one that is walking straightforward based on the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this life, Ibn Kathir says, in this life, those non-believers and the fusaq and the kuffar, you know, none of them is walking straightforward. They are ha'irin. Ha'irin means those people who are confused in life. And this is absolutely true. Whoever amongst them is going to be honest to you, you will understand that, yes, this person is confused in his life. There is no way for you to stay away from this confusion, unless if somebody attaches himself to the wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the scholars have mentioned that this is their life in this dunya. Those who are guided by Allah, they are always straightforward. And those who are misguided, they can't see the truth, and everything is messy in their life, and they will never have the true success in their heart, you know, and it is going to be reflecting on the day of judgment. Yeah, it's going to be like that. The same scenario is going to be repeated on the day of judgment. That's why on the day of judgment, فَالْمُؤْمِنُ يُحْشَرُ يَمْشِي سَوِيًّا عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. That's why Ibn al-Qayyim says, you know the sirat, the way the sirat is on the day of judgment? He says, we pass in the sirat. You have to pass the sirat here in this dunya first for you to be able to pass the sirat in the akhirah. All of those obstacles that you have in the sirat, you have them also here in this life. Trials and the test that is taking place, you know, distraction, you know, entertainment, all of these things are similar to those things which are next to the sirat on the day of judgment. You must be able to pass them for you to be able to pass the sirat on the day of judgment. So Ibn Kathir says, this person is bent in this life. He couldn't walk properly. On the day of judgment, when it comes to the sirat, he is going to be also like that. The mu'min will be walking straight forward. And subhanAllah, some of them, the Prophet ﷺ said, their speed will be very high, at the speed of the lightning. مِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَمْشِي يَمُرُّ كَالْبَرْقِ سَاللَّهَ يَجْعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ. Some of them, they will be passing كَالْبَرْقِ, just like the lightning. That's iman, you know. This is the place where you see the value of the iman, you know. Some of them, they will be passing like somebody who is riding a horse. Some of them like somebody who is running, you know, the speed of human being. Somebody like somebody who is jogging. Somebody like somebody who is walking very fast. Different types of people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, some people, they will be crawling on the sirat. Some of them, they move, they stop. According to the iman, you know, the same way sometimes we are on and off, right, our iman. Sometimes, mashallah, like wali min awliya illah. And sometimes, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. You would not understand that this person was the one yesterday doing this and that. He changed totally. So if a person doesn't repent, he might have the reflection of this on the sirat. Same way the iman comes and goes, he has a light and the light will come. When the light comes, he moves. When the light goes, he has to stop. Otherwise, he might fall inside the hellfire, because under the sirat is the hellfire. That's why I always say taking break in iman is very dangerous. Many people took break and they never come back again. Never come back again. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. So the good ones, they will be walking on the sirat in a nice way. Whereas the bad ones, you know, they will be walking on the sirat in a very dangerous way. And imagine, some will be walking on the sirat being dragged on their faces. They walk on their faces. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنُ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدًا كَذَلِكَ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ وَرَتَّلْنَاهُ تَرْتِيلًا. Those non-believers, they told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why didn't you receive Qur'an from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala جُمْلَةً وَاحِدًا, at once? Why? Sometimes one ayah, sometimes few lines, you know. There is the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, غَيْرَ أُولِ الدَّرَرِ, just that one. Because the blind people, they complain, Ya Rasulullah, we have no idea on how to participate in the jihad because of our problems. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cares for them, you know. He revealed that part. So it has been given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gradually. That's the meaning of tanjim, right, in the Quran. نَزَلَ الْقُرْآنِ مُنَجَّمًا, okay, أَيُّ مُفَرَّقًا, gradually. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْكِتَابِ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ عَلَى رَسُولِهِ وَالْكِتَابِ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. That one, he says, نَزَّلَ. The scholar said, it shows what? Gradual process in terms of the revelation. Those one, because they receive it at once, he says, أَنزَلَ. So it's like it indicates something to be given at once. So the kuffar was saying to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why can't you be like the rest of the prophets, you know? As if they praise them, you know? Why can't you get your book like them? You know? Allah says, كَذَٰلِكَ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ وَرَتَّلْنَهُ تَرْتِيلًا. It's one of the justification, so that it will be firmly established in your heart. And Allah says, وَلَا يَأْتُونَكَ بِمَثَلٍ إِلَّا جِئْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ وَأَحْسَنْ تَفْسِيرًا. There is no batil that somebody will come up with in this life except that their refutation and their reply is there in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi, if you learn Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will be able to stand in front of every deviant person. That's why Imam Shafi says, especially the Sunnah, because the Quran, they might come up with different interpretations, you know, as they always do. But the Sunnah, they cannot do anything. Imam Shafi says, "Man ta'allama al-haditha qawiyat hujjatuhu." If you learn the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your side of evidence is going to be very, very strong. وَلَا يَتُونَكَ مِثَلٍ إِلَّا جِئْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ وَأَحْسَنْ تَفْسِيرًا. And then Allah says, الَّذِينَ يُحْشَرُونَ عَلَىٰ وُجُوهِهِمْ إِلَىٰ جَهَنَّمْ. They will be resurrected on their faces. That means they will be walking on their face. Somebody says, how is it possible for them to walk on their faces? Because the norm is you use your foot, you know, your feet to walk on them. But these ones, they will be walking on their faces. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied to that one. He says, "Alladhi amshahu ala rijlihi qadirun ala yamshi ala wajhi." The one who grant him ability to walk on his foot has the power and the ability also to let him walk on his face. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I've seen the snakes. How did they walk? They drag their body, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَمْشِي عَلَىٰ رِجْلَيْنِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَمْشِي عَلَىٰ بَطْنِهِ, like the snakes. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَمْشِي عَلَىٰ رِجْلَيْنِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَمْشِي عَلَىٰ أَرْبَعَ, like most of the animals. رجلين, like birds and human beings. بطنه, like the snakes and the rest of the زواحف. So the one who has the ability to let them move in that way, he has the ability also to change the system. ذلك رب العالمين, right? That's why he says, هذا خلق الله فأروني ماذا خلق الذين من دونه. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَمَنْ يَمْشِي مُكِبًّا عَلَى وَجِهِهِ أَهْدَى أَمَّنْ يَمْشِي سَوِيًّا عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And then he says, قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Subhanallah. So all of those questions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked, man, who can do this? Who can do that? Who can do this? Who can do that? If they have no answer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. That's why he says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ, is the one who brought you out of nothing. One who initiated your creation from nothing. You're not there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the source and put you and make you from that one. There was no Adam, and Adam came into existence. قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. It's quite interesting because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created us, He did not create us as dumb creation, unless if we want the brain to be dumb. When you make it like that, then it will remain in that way. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He created you, وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. In Surah An-Nahl, Allah says, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought you out of the wombs of your mothers. لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. You don't know anything. Yeah, the child, the tifl, when he comes, his mother has to take him and put his mouth, you know, next to the breast, then he will be able to naturally suck the milk. He knows what to do. But he has to be guided to the place, right? She put him to the place. After that, he knows what to do. Naturally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it in that way. Those senses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them on you so that you can be guided to that which is beneficial to you. Beneficial to you. So he says, وَجَعَلَ لَكُمَ السَّمْعَ. He granted you hearing. What is the benefit of the hearing? To listen to the truth and to put it into practice and action. But did they use it? No. You remember in the past, لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ The vast majority of the cause of the deviation and getting into trouble in the hereafter is not using these senses, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on you. Sam' is the hearing, wal absar, and the seeing, wal af'ida, the heart, and this is the main one actually. No reflection in the heart. The fu'ad is not functioning properly. They hear, they see, but it is just like the hearing of, the seeing of that person who sees, but the aql is away from. You know, sometimes a person will tell you, I was raising up my hand, I saw you, but you did not realize. No? And he did not reply. You know? You tell him, Wallahi, I did not see you. But to him, how come he did not reply? He sees as if you are looking at him, you know. The poet says, لَعَمُرُكَ مَا الْأَبْصَارُ تَنْفَعُ أَهْلَهَا إِذَا لَمْ بِكُنْ لِلْمُوْسِرِينَ بَصَائِرُ. You have many people, they have eyes, right? All of us. But how many people are using their eyes to reflect on the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's why when a great scholar passed away and somebody was describing him in a very simple lines of poetry, he says, كَفِيفٌ وَأَبْصَرَ جِسْرَ النَّجَاتِ. I found it very interesting. He said, كَفِيفٌ وَأَبْصَرَ جِسْرًا جِسْرَ النَّجَاةِ فَكَمْ مِنْ بَصِيرٍ أَضَاءَ الْجِسُورِ. He said, that man was blind. He said even at the age of 17 or 18, he was blind throughout his life like that. But subhanAllah, managed to reach the level of fatwa, the highest authority in terms of fatwa in that country was him. And even you can say the most respected person is him. And subhanAllah, one of the few in this life who are respected by their enemies. As far as respect is concerned, they respect him. Although they don't take what he says, but they respect. So I like that poetry, and they describe him, they said, Kafif. Kafif means blind, but he managed to see the bridge of success. At the same time, so many people who see, they lost the bridge. It's in front of them, but they couldn't see it. He's referring to who? Fulan wa illan, Fulan wa illan. So eyes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, you need to make them active. See, send a message to the heart and reflect upon that which you're seeing. Everything that you see in this life has a lesson. Everything, with no exception. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put next to you has a lesson. You can learn a lot from it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ قَلِيلًا مَّا تَشْكُرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but unfortunately, with all of these blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only a few amongst you are showing that thanks and appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do I appreciate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing to me? Thank you, Allah. Allah doesn't want that. You should do the shukr. How to do the shukr? Worship Him. Do what He asks you to do. That's the best form of shukr. You don't need to say thank you, Allah. Put your thanks into practice and action. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see you in the masjid. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see you saying the truth. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see you speaking, reading the Quran. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see you being honest in your job, in your business, whatever you do. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see honesty in that, and the application of the Sharia. This is the best way of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, اعملوا آل داود شكرا وقليل من عبادية الشكور. He talks about عمل الشكر. That's why they said sometimes in this regard, الشكر أوسع من الحمد. Because you don't practice hamd, but you practice the shukr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq. قَالَ قَلِيلًا مَّا تَشْكُرُونَ قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي ذَرَأَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created you and put you on earth. Created you from the earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ. And we're going to take you back to the earth. وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. And from the earth, we're going to resurrect you one day. It's very beautiful to see that in the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will welcome a believer in the heavens. And he will ask the angels to take him back to the earth because he says, مِنْهَا خَلَقْتُهُمْ وَفِيهَا أُعِيدُهُمْ وَمِنْهَا أُخْرِجُهُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. If not because of this, when you go to that place, you will never go back to the earth, the place of test. You must salama to the earth. And nobody will be welcome in that way and get into trouble after that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tawfiq. قَالَ قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي ذَرَأَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Unfortunately, instead of accepting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will always say, the du'at or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have been promised us a punishment. Why do you delay it? Why don't you bring it now? Can understand why Allah called them maghrurin, Inil kafiruna illa fi ghurur. So, mata hadha al-wa'd in kuntum sadiqeen. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa ilayhi tuhsharun. You are going to be resurrected and taken back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. So they used to ask, why not now? Why do you delay it, Why until then, But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mukrihalahu. He fixed the time for it, and it will never come before that time which is fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهُ وَإِنَّمَا أَنَا نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ. They always ask you, but in reality they're asking the wrong person. They're asking the wrong one. Because when you ask somebody something that he doesn't know, you relieve him from the burden of that answer. When they ask the Prophet about the time when the Day of Judgment is going to happen, they're asking the wrong person. Jibreel asked him and he said, "Mal mas'ul anha bi'ala min as-sa'i. Thaqulat fi as-samawati wal ard. La ta'tikum illa baghta." This is one of the areas where only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows when it's going to happen. That's why he told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if they ask you, just tell them, "Innama ana nadhiru mubin." I'm none other than nadhir, a warner. You know, somebody who is very clear in his warning. So I'm warning you not to be arrogant. And I'm advising you at the same time to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ زُلْفَةً سِيئَتْ وُجُوهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَقِيلَ هَذَا الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تَدَّعُونَ. You know, subhanAllah. They will keep on being in that state of hurur, you know, deception. And asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why can't we see it now? Why can't the Day of Judgment reach us? Why can't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring us back to Him? If it is true, why can't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy us? You know, in the way you say. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ زُلْفَةً. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking us to the future. It's like now the Day of Judgment is come. When they see it near to them, see at وُجُوهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. You can see the sadness and the change of face. You know, when you look at the faces of those non-believers and the criminals and the wrongdoers, you can see how much sad and depressed those people are going to be. وَقِيلَ هَذَا الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تَدَّعُونَ. And they will be told, this is the one that you are saying, why can't it come now? And now when it comes, your faces change and you see the reality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَحْشُرُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ يَوْمَئِذٍ زُرْقَى. What is zurqa? No. It's not really azraq, but they are talking about the eyes is so wide, you know. It's not really blue. Elijah Muhammad, the prophet of the black Americans, you know, the one who says he is the prophet of the black Americans, okay, I cancel that word, the false prophet of the, okay, he says every white person is going to hell. All of those white people are going to hell. There is no way for a white man to go to Jannah. And he has ayah to support. He says, Allah says, وَنَحْشُرُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ يَوْمَئِذٍ زُرْقًا. He says, you will see them having blue eyes. Say, who has blue eyes in this life? European countries. So that's why learning tafsir is good, you know. Otherwise, when you go to the tafsir of those people who are intruders in the tafsir, subhanAllah, تَمُوتُ ضَحِكًا, you know. When they give tafsir of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yahdiyana wa yuthabbita aqdamana. You know all of those ones. The one that came in Indiku. The one that says he is also a prophet, Mirza Ghulam Ahmad. He is also supporting his prophecy from the Quran, you know. And he says, I never say I'm a Rasul. He said he is a Nabi. And he missed that statement of Allah wa khataman and Nabi. Very unique. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, I close the risala. He said, we close the nubuwa. Because everyone knows that a person cannot be a rasul without being a nabi. If we close the nubuwa, risala is automatically closed. If you close the risala, nubuwa might be open. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, nubuwa is closed. What does that mean? There will be no nabi and there will be no rasul. إلى يوم القيامة. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at-tawfiq. So those ones will regret. When they see the Day of Judgment, you know, they will regret. But they will be told that this is what you are inviting. And now it came, why do you change? You should be happy, right? You were looking for it, and now it came. And you change your face. Allah says, see at wujuhu alladhina kafaru. When the Day of Judgment happens, you will see tasu wujuha ulai nas. وَقِيلَ هَذَا الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تَدَّعُونَ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَهْلَكَنِيَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ مَعِيَ أَوْ رَحِمَنَا فَمَنْ يُجِيرُ الْكَافِرِينَ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. What do you think if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to destroy me? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to destroy me and destroy everyone, who is that person who has the capacity to protect the kuffar? If Allah show mercy upon us, and Allah is the one who can hold people accountable of what they do. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to do this, who is that person who has the power and the ability to protect the kuffar from the punishment of Allah? There is nobody. The only one who can protect them is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why he says, قُلْ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنِ آمَنَّا بِهِ. Subhanallah. He says, قُلْ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنِ. He's Ar-Rahman. Because out of his infinite mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes people out of hell for those who want it. Yeah. Jannah is only for somebody who accepts it. Get it? Jannah is only for somebody who accepts it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلُّ أُمَّتِي يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا مَنْ أَبَى قَالُوا وَمَنْ يَأْبَى يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَالَ مَنْ أَطَاءَنِي دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ أَصَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى. Everyone among my ummah is going to be taken to paradise except somebody who doesn't want it. They said, Ya Rasulullah, who will not like a paradise? He said, whoever obeys me will be taken to paradise, and those who reject me, these are the rejecters of the paradise. They might not say physically we don't like it, but when you reject Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are rejecting the paradise. So only the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take a person to paradise, including the Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ آمَنَّا بِهِ. The only one who can help and support us is Ar-Rahman. آمَنَّا بِهِ. We believed in him. وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. And we depend on him. فِي جَمِيعُ أُمُورِنَا. In all of our affairs. فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ هُوَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. A day will come, you know, you will understand who is upon the righteousness and who is upon the right way and who is misguided. Now you cannot realize it, but on the day of judgment, you are going to know who is misguided. In Surah 2, Sabah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّا إِيَّاكُمْ لَعَلَى هُدًى أَوْ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. You know, there's a question being cast to them, but the answer to this question is going to be manifested on the day of judgment. And then the last ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what do you think if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to change the nature of your water? Al-gha'ir, al-ma'ul gha'ir, is the water that goes deep down, you know, to the level where you cannot get it. We dig well in the mu'assasa, you know, subhanallah. Sometimes when we are confronted by a rock, you keep digging. There's one end. You spend a lot, and sometimes you have to give up. You cannot reach the level of the water. And in those places, when you reach the level of the water, usually the water under the rock is a lot. But before you reach that one, it'll be very difficult. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what do you think if Allah is to make your water go in deep down in a way that you will never be able to reach it? Allah says, فَمَنْ يَأْتُوكُمْ بِمَعِنْ فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَعِنْ مَعِنْ. Who is that who has the power and ability to bring you the water that will come closer? Al-Ma'ul Ma'in is the opposite of Al-Ghaib. That's mean the one that you can reach and fetch water from it. So this is not just the water, but everything. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala don't want to give you, you will never get it from anyone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. This is Surah Al-Mulk in brief. Yeah. Seriously, we try, with no exaggeration, this is Surah Al-Mulk in brief. Every ayah, if you are going to digress and talk about the disciplines that are related to it, we will take a longer time. But I just decided to rush a bit so that inshallah, maybe at the end of Ramadan, we'll be able to reach Surah Nur wal-Qalam. I'm just kidding. Inshallah, by the end of Ramadan, inshallah, we shall be able to finish the half of the juzu. If not, the juzu bi akmali, inshallah. So the next class on Saturday will be on Surah Al-Qalam bi idhnillahi azza wa jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Today I give you discount, right? Yeah. I have to be compensated.
On time.
Oh, no discount? Ameen.
First question is by Sister Moon. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you.
Salaam.
In the last session, you discussed about sins, that they are punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you further elaborate so that we can understand this correctly?
This is very simple, Sister Murni, because sins are musiba. Everyone believes that sins are musiba, calamity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. Any musiba, any calamity that happens to you, it is simply because of what you did. So the scholars have mentioned that the worst type of masaib is are the sins, the ma'asi. So which means when you commit a sin, most likely this is the result of a sin that you have committed. That's why it's a lot. Actually, we just don't pay attention to our life. But if you pay attention to what is happening in your life, you will see this very clearly. Believe me, my dear brothers and sisters, the way you find it easy to attain some other sins, you know, after the commission of another ma'asiyah is more apparent, you know. It's very apparent, you know. You can be able to trace it, you can see it properly. After the commission of the ma'asi, you will see the other sins also are being easy for you to do them. So whenever you commit a ma'asiyah, you are invited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to quickly repent so that continuation of the commission of the sin will be stopped. You know. If you don't repent, then a person might be going. Ilawain, Allahu Akbar. So sins open the door to other sins. The best is when you commit sin, just cut it off, repent, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you to close the door. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, you will not do another sin. Yeah. But unfortunately, nowadays, we are happy with the sins. We invite others to come and share with us, you know, and we engage in the sins, and we are happy with that. May Allah grant us tawfiq.
There's a question from the last class. Sheikh, when talking about people who rejoice from commissions made from a haram source, what does someone do in a situation where the person providing for them, like the father or the husband, is involved in riba and he does not listen to their advice? Do we constantly advise and argue with them, or this could make life very unpleasant and difficult? So what should a person do?
Should be patient and keep advising. You shouldn't stop advising. Yeah, use the best word, but you shouldn't stop advising. Especially the parent, you must look for a way to talk to him. You must, either directly or through any of his friends that are good. They should go and tell him that your children, your family are not happy. They don't feel comfortable with this kind of life. Yeah. And if you are not alone in the family, I will suggest to gather everyone to go and have a serious meeting with anyone who is involved in the haram dealings amongst the parent. They will value that. From the eldest to the youngest, you all should gather and go and meet the father or the mother and talk to them in a very nice way. Don't fight. Don't shout. Be very humble in your speech. Even like Allah, they will listen. If they don't listen at that moment, but they will think about it, inshallah. But you shouldn't keep quiet. Allah grant us tawfiq.
They mentioned this hadith about Ghirat Allah, where Abu Huraira narrated it and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Allah iqad, wal mu'min yaghar, ghirat Allah, and yet the mu'min ma harram alayhi. So she wants to understand, based on this hadith, is it right to say that Allah is jealous? Because to use it as a negative trait, and it doesn't seem polite to be used towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you explain this to us?
No. The first thing I will correct is the statement negative. Jealousy is not always negative. When jealousy leads you to do wrong thing, this is negative. Get it? But jealousy is not always negative. A brother who knows, who is within his consciousness, he sees his wife having a bad relationship with another person. What does he do? Ahlan wa sahlan, go ahead. Or he will be acting like Sa'ad. Sometimes they might go beyond the Sa'ad, you know. Many marriages have been gone when the husband realized that his wife is having conversation with others. This jealousy that he is having, which is protecting his family and his right, is it good or bad? Good. Because that will protect the wife herself and the family, you know, and everyone. The same to the jealousy she has when she sees him talking to a sister in the wrong way, having bad relationship with others. Is it good or bad? It's good. So jealousy is not always bad. You get it? And this is the sifa that Allah SWT gave himself. We keep it in the way it is. How is it? We don't ask about this. This is innovation. But since he says, Inna Allah yaghar, we keep it in the way it is. Rasulullah SAW said, Inna Allah yaghar. Who described him with jealousy? Rasulullah SAW. What does that mean? Allah SWT, one of his attributes is Al-Ghayra. But do we extract name from it? No. We don't say the one who is the one who is having the ghayra as a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Ghayur. We don't say that. This is wrong. Yeah. This is very wrong. But we describe him with ghayra in the way the Prophet ﷺ described him. And what is the ghayra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It is explained that Allah doesn't want to see his slave doing that which he made prohibited upon him. Because ghayra is, you know what ghayra? Jealousy, right? You see somebody, you favoring somebody other than the one who is supposed to be favored. You feel jealous, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he sees you, you know, favoring others, and these others could be your desire, you know, when you follow your desire, you go and do sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ghayra exists in this regard. He doesn't want to see you following your desire. He wants to always see you following him. And he's the only one that should be followed all the time. That's why there shouldn't be contradiction between Allah and others. It doesn't come, actually. Contradiction is between makhluk and makhluk, but not between khaliq and makhluk. When there is a contradiction according to the way you see it between Allah and the creation, you know, those whom he created, you know, there is only one thought, which is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no second thought. The possibility of following somebody, you know, it doesn't go. As a Muslim, is always Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's it. Following somebody, this is what provoked the jealousy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he punished severely if a person doesn't repent. So this is how we should understand. You know, first, don't forget, I fixed the statement which says, jealousy is always negative. It is not always negative. But we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is jealous in the way the Prophet ﷺ said, within that context, and we don't add, we don't decrease. Barakallahu feekum.
Question by Ariane. When does it become mandatory for boys to start fasting? Because for girls, we know it becomes mandatory when they start masturbating.
The boys, when they reach the age of maturity. Reaching the age of maturity means when they see the wet dream, or they have the pubic hair, the thick one, not the small one that comes even with the babies, you know, the thick one, or they have the beard. If they don't see any of these signs, then when they reach 15 years old, according to the vast majority of the scholars, after reaching 15 years old, then the child is baligh. He has to start doing everything like anybody else. Yeah, there has to be a limit for that. Otherwise, a person who never saw a wet dream, and you have the amrad, sometimes those people who don't have beard, they don't have anything, you know. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them. You know, if you say that he must have that for him to become a baligh, then that person has a lot of discount throughout his prayer. You know, at the age of 50, he doesn't pray to Allah. Why? Because he never had a wet dream. What happened? Brother, you are matured. No, I never grow beard. I never have mustache. You don't have any of this? Yes, except the hair on my. And sometimes maybe he's bald also. So there has to be a limit for that. Otherwise, people will go, you know, 20 years, 30 years, and they don't do anything. So the scholars said, and this one they took it from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, when he says, I was presented to the Prophet during the battle of Uhud, And he rejected me. And during the Battle of Ahzab, when I was presented to him, he accepted me. He says, I reached 15 years old. He said, وَرَآنِي قَدْ بَلَغْتُ. And he sees me as a baligh person. So that's why most of the scholars said this is the age of bulugh. If a person doesn't see any sign after reaching 15 years old, then this person is baligh. Yeah, for the sisters also, the same thing. Height and wet dream also, and any other things which is specifically meant for them that doesn't grow except on a matured person, if any, then they will become matured. Yeah. That's why sometimes the scholar said if the woman became pregnant, but she never observed the height. How is that possible? Wallahu ala kulli shayin qadir. Because not having height, the likelihood of having a child, if a sister doesn't have height, is very far. But it is there, always is there. You know. That's why during the breastfeeding, the height doesn't come. And also, usually the sister doesn't become pregnant at that moment. But do we have some cases where they, yeah, we have a lot. So whatever sign she sees, the pregnancy, they said, it is a sign for the bulugh. Because it shows that, yes, definitely this person is baligha. At any age. Yeah. Theirs is quicker than the brothers because they can be baligh at the age of 9. You know? That's why there is no limit in terms of age concerning when the haid should begin. We just go with the wujud. And our wujud means existence. Where it does exist, we do the hukum. So, wallahu ala kulli shayin qadir. I have one of the colleagues in Medina, who was one of our seniors. He said he knew a case of a girl. She was born. A year later, he said she's started having the haid. You might call it whatever you call it, but he says the smell, the only thing we cannot ask is how does she feel. But the smell and the color, and also it comes on the monthly basis, exactly those days that are like the matured people. In everything, that is exceptions, right? If you say haid is the sign of the bulugh for everyone, then a year old, 1 year old, then we will tell her, أَقِيمِ أَصَّلَىٰ أَصَلِّيهِ. Yeah, we have to go with that, with the aql. In the case of this one, it will be an exception. And وَالنَّادِرُ لَا حُكْمَ لَهُ. الحكم الغالب. We go with the vast majority and the general principle. The nadir, we deal with it according to that specific case. Of course, it is not obligatory upon her because the aql is not there. Until the time the idraq, and she's within her consciousness, she can differentiate between right and wrong, then she'll become a baligh. That is a hadith from Athar Yunsab ila Aisha. She said, when a girl reaches 9 years old, then she is not a girl anymore, she's a woman. The girl reached 9 years old, that she's not a girl, she's a woman. Yeah. That's why many are asking, when is the best time for the sister to start wearing the hijab? When? Yeah, Khalid says 3, you know. You might find it's exaggeration, you know, when one of the scholars said 7, people said, no, this is harshness and all that. But nowadays, I think those guys who are criticizing, they might say maybe from day one, they should start wearing the hijab. You know, because you have cases where kids have been kidnapped. And when they are found being killed, sometimes you can see what somebody did with them. So that concept which used to exist in the past is somehow missing in our time, you know, unfortunately. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. So the age of hijab, as long as the sister can wear the hijab, the girl can wear the hijab, they should start training her. You know? Well, I like it when I see the family going, sometimes you see a little girl, but she has a hijab. And this is very good, you know. She wears the hijab because she will grow up thinking that this is how it should be done. Yeah. Contrary to the way we do it nowadays, she goes to the primary school, no hijab. Secondary school, no hijab. And then you want her in the university to wear the hijab. Hayhat. Wallahi, hayhat, hayhat. I worked one day with the discipline department, in the school. You know, we got one of the students not wearing hijab. You know, this is Islamic school, yeah, the school next to us. And she told us, This is the first time in her life, you know, and these are the upper grades about to graduate from the school. She said, this is the first time in my life I'm wearing hijab. Trying my best to see how to cope with it. How about your parents? She said, never ask me to do. So that's why we suffer, right? Because you have to do it and the parent is not supporting. We have this negligence a lot. When you attach to the kids, you will see this a lot. And some of them, their parents, they are min jama'at to tabligh, always going to the masajid, always even traveling to other countries, you know. But subhanAllah, one of them, subhanAllah, Ta'ish. And he said he can't remember when his father brought him to teach him about the religion. One of them live in Jeddah, you know. And he said the first time he learned how to make wudu, the first time he learned how to make wudu is when he went to the school. At home, he doesn't know. So teaching kids from the younger age is very, very important. Prophet ﷺ said, ask them to pray at the age of 7. Why? Because by the time they reach the bulugh, they're already familiar with it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq, and make it easy for us to give tarbiyah to our kids.
Question by Sumani. We discussed that to be patient, we need to have knowledge. What if a person struggles to be patient, to attend the halaqa of knowledge itself? What does the person need to start to do that? Is there any specific dua from the sunnah for such a situation?
Yes, that thing that I talk about, it's in terms of relationship. Yeah, patience when it comes to righteousness is needed. And also, you need to know, you know, that this is the command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you need to know about the value of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it makes it more interesting, you know. Anything you do after knowing who asked you to do, and what is the value, and how much you will get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after doing it, you know, you will do it better. The companion of the Prophet ﷺ said, Ya Rasulullah, he says, when the Prophet ﷺ talked about Jannah, he said, Ya Rasulullah, do you mean if I am killed during this battle, I will go to this place that you mentioned? The Prophet ﷺ said, yes. He says, if I live until the time I finish this tamr, he was holding a few tamarat on his hand. He said, if I live until the time I finish this tamarat, lahi hayatun tawila. He said, this is a very long life. He detached himself from this life when he hears about the Jannah. Do you get it? That's why they say, Lays al-khabar kal mu'ayana, you know. Things you see, things you know, it will never be like those which you are told about, you know. When you have the knowledge, your interest will be higher, will be stronger. Do you get it? So still the qaida is still applicable on this. You know, even righteousness, attending the classes, you need patience. You need knowledge, the value and the benefit of going to that class. How much would you get if you go to that class? Not of the dunya, but the reward. If you remember that when you go to that class, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you with His mercy, and He will be proud of you, and He will tell the angels, I forgive all of them. You know, even the angels will say, but there is somebody who is next to them. He wasn't even paying attention to the lesson, you know. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, humul qawm. La yashqa bihim jalisuhum, subhanAllah. These people, they're so special. You know, those people who gather themselves in the masjid, in the place, yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala write us among those ones, you know, to get this blessing, because it's really, really huge blessing. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all of them. When the angels protest and say, Allah, there is one of them, he wasn't even paying attention to the lesson, but he was next to them. That's as long as he's not disturbing the class, right? Yeah, we have to make an exception, because sometimes some people, they will sit in one place and come and distract the class. There are some people who will come and play football next to the dars. I will not talk about the place, but there are people who are coming next to the place of the dars and play football. A'udhu billah. And they call themselves student of knowledge. You know. So he says, humul qawm la yashqa bihim jalisuhum. They are the people that are, I mean, loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're so special in the eyes of Allah, in the way whoever sit next to them, when the mercy of Allah comes, it will include them also. When the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, it will not just include those people who are doing the one who is next to them also will get the benefit. Sallallahu alayhi wa ja'alana wa iyyakum minhum. The best way to avoid istidraj. Istidraj means to be given a respite by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best way to avoid this is righteousness. That's it. Try your best to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time and also to be righteous. In a way, whatever comes to you, inshallah, it will be based on your righteousness. But if you insist, you know, to commit the ma'asi and to keep going in the wrong direction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might be giving you, you know, all of these blessings based on istidraj. So that's why I said the best way is to be righteous, to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time and to fix your attitude and manners so that whatever you get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, it will be based on your righteousness. And you don't need to worry about that at all. But if you are not going to repent and you're not going to fix your attitude, you know, but most likely whatever comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be based on istidraj. May Allah grant us good. Okay, jazakumullah khair, and inshaAllah we stop here bi-ibnillahi azza wa jal, and we will continue on Saturday, inshaAllah. No, is it a Saturday they have event or our next one? Okay. Or Tuesday, okay. So see you on Saturday, inshaAllah. Barakallahu feekum, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.